Mini episode 1765 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1765. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you today. And we have one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries on with us, our first post-original dignitary from back in 2007, great friend Russ Cohen, 10-time author and proprietor of the great Sportsology site, as well as NHL Draft Buzz, so go check that out as well at NHLDraftBuzz.com. These entities, along with the FDH Lounge and FantasyDraftHelp.com, responsible for, you can find this on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, among other places, Fantasy Hockey Draftology 2024, and we're going to be taking a look today at the 2024-2025 NHL season. Of course, this guide, as always, your best fantasy and non-fantasy guide to the season. So in there, we have predictions from FDH in a number of different areas, including records for the season. And that's the primary thing we're going to be looking at here today is how we think the teams in the NHL are going to play out for the 2024-2025 season. And let me bring in my great pal, Russ Cohen. Russ, great to have you on today, my man.
Thanks, Rick. I mean, it's been a long time that I've been coming on. I enjoy it each time. I did the 10th book with you,
yes,
our NBA book, but now I am working on an 11th called Game Winners, the greatest game-winning goals in hockey history. We're going to include the Olympics in that too. So like a top 50. So that's something where you probably should be out this November. So yeah, I took a break after we came out with our book and now I'm doing another.
Excellent. I look forward to plugging that book on the show here once it's ready to go. And speaking of plugging, since you mentioned it, twist my arm, the top 75 players in pro basketball history. Go check that out.
Yeah,
Amazon.com. Us two and Ben Chu with a list of the top 75 pro basketball players ever. That was to coincide with the anniversary of the 75th NBA season. So I'm glad you thought to mention that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great book. Enjoyed working on it. I'm enjoying working on this one. Who knows where I'll stop and what the number will be. I don't really search them out as much as I did before.
Yeah.
But sometimes now they find me. Like, you had this project, you found me.
Yep.
Matt Blitner is the author of this other. He found me. So sometimes they find me.
Absolutely. And you're in double digits now. The sky is the limit. I'm sure you're going to keep going. And, of course, hockey accounting very, very strongly in the course of these 11 books. A number of them, the Winter Classic, images with the Philadelphia Flyers, of course, 100 Ranger greats, et cetera, et cetera. And speaking of the Rangers, why don't we start with their division? Why don't we start with the Metro Division here in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I cover that the most. So
all right,
that's
for
good.
A smooth segue, of course, you cover Philadelphia extensively as well.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction in looking at the division here again, I was way off, as were a lot of people a year ago, about New Jersey. That was probably the biggest surprise of the season, the way that they tanked. I do look for a comeback for them, but I think the Rangers are going to win the division, and I do think the way that the offseason played out, they may have widened the gap on Carolina a little bit. So I think they're still the two best teams in the division, but I think the Rangers win by a decent amount in the division. I've got Carolina and New Jersey as wild card teams. I guess the wild cards would be rather New Jersey and Detroit, the way that they're doing it.
Right.
So we'll get to the other division a little bit later. Carolina, I don't know what they call them if they're not a division winner, but not a wild card team. But I've got the division.
They'll just be one of the top three. If you're one of the top three, you make it.
Yeah, top three. And I've got a little bit of distance between Jersey, Islanders, Philadelphia. I think there's going to be a little bit of a fallback for Pittsburgh this year. I think they're geared up for one more run, but I think they're going to be disappointed. I've got Washington and Columbus kind of far back as well. And I had Columbus slotted there even before the loss of Johnny Gaudreau, which was very tragic, which,
that hit hard because I live about 20 minutes from where that accident happened.
Oh, my.
Had been on that road, had been to the rink where his dad used to work and have some teams, so I had seen that. I probably interviewed him 10 times, and it was nice of John Tortorella to have Guy Gaudreau run practice the other day for the Flyers because it probably felt normal for him. And so, yeah, all of that. And at the USHL Fall Classic, before every game, there was a moment of silence because he won a championship there and a Rookie of the Year there. So,
yeah,
basically in USA Hockey, for all of his hockey, he's touched everything.
Right, yeah.
Both the brothers, really.
A lot of ripple effects there, and it's a thing where, and it almost sounds crass to, talk about, but I guess we have to, what the effects are going to be on a team. My guess is, in the end, it's kind of a wash because they weren't in a very good position prior to this, and I don't think they're going to be after this. You could see them being a little bit hot at the outset and maybe kind of, playing with a little bit extra inspiration, shades of the Red Wings circa 98, but, they had the gap in talent between the Red Wings of then coming off of that tragedy and Columbus right now is why I think Columbus is still going to be far back of the pack. But how do you see the Metro shaping up? It is a very interesting division.
It is. I think the Rangers will take the division. The Devils, the reason they had such a bad year, their goaltending was just a hot mess. They should have picked up Markstrom at the Stadium Series like we all thought was going to happen. Had they done that, and I understand the price was high, but had they done that, they'd had a real good shot at making the playoffs. But it all went south after that. So their defense was too young, too. They had lost Damon Severson, who I think Severson is a really good player, and they lost the other veteran defenseman, and they got too young on D. So I think that was a big problem for him. So I agree with that. I think the Devils will be the second team. I do think the Hurricanes will be third, but there will be more of a gap unless Rob Brindamore decides to go with Kochetkov at some point. He just seems to be hesitant in doing that. But I think at some point he's got to just suck it up and go for that, because otherwise I think there's just – they have to get to another level with their goaltending, and I think he's the way to do it, but they have to give him a chance to do it. After that, look, like last year I kept saying the Flyers aren't making the playoffs, and they took it to the last game of the year. I don't think they're getting close to that this year. I think their goaltending is going to fall off because there's no Carter Hart, and Ersson is a decent goalie, and Fedotov, we don't really know what he is yet because he only played a game and a half, so he's a good guy. I had a really good interview with him at the Rookie Showcase, and I really like him. But even if he's a really good backup, Ersson's going to have to somehow play 50 games again, which he barely got through last year. So there's no real benchmark for that for him. And getting over a 990 save percentage or 900 save percentage, he couldn't do that last year. He was right around the 895 mark. So we'll see if that changes. But in the interim, I don't think they're making it. The Islanders are a bubble team. And Capitals could surprise. They're healthier again, although Ovechkin may not be. I mean, he already got a little banged up in camp, and I'm sure he won't go through the same kind of slump he did last year to start the season. But I always caution people. They always last year they were like, oh, yeah, he's going to break the Gretzky record that year. Well, he didn't. And this year is like, oh, yeah, he'll do it this year. And he might not. It might linger. His injuries might linger. These things just start to happen. I hate to use this as an example, but I do use the Keith Hernandez in Cleveland as an example, because it really does. That's the way guys can fall off sometimes.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. And again,
and Keith talked about it again the other day, because he said he was talking about hitting a home run somewhere. He goes, I think that's the only home run they hit when I was on the Indians.
Yeah. Well, nothing like. Nothing like being on injured reserve with a back injury and being photo club dancing in a nightclub. I mean, that's just what a class act.
But you don't hold a grudge, right?
No, of course not. And while we're on the subject of not holding a grudge, Washington, let's face it, they were in the playoffs last year on a complete gift. Something on par with the 1919 Black Sox scandal here when Tortorella had the temper tantrum when Detroit scored the goal last year and threw the game against Washington. Something that compromised the entire integrity
of the game against Washington. That is not true.
Compromised the integrity of the playoffs, in my estimation.
He did not throw the game. That is a farcical take on it. Untrue. It just happened to be that the Flyers were running out of gas before that game, and Washington took advantage early. And there was one play pretty much changed it all. So yeah, it's the way it happened. But Washington, they got Verana for nothing now, and if he has his stuff together, this guy could be a 30-goal scorer. Better goaltending, maybe some of their younger guys like LaPierre and McMichael do something. No TJ Oshie, so that hurts a little bit. But they could surprise. They probably won't. And the Penguins, I don't think, are surprising anybody. I think they're going to, maybe they get within 6 points of the playoffs or something, because that's the way the NHL is. But they're not a great team.
My guess is they're not even going to come that close. But it's going to be an interesting season in the Metro, certainly also in the Atlantic, where, as I indicated previously, I think there will be 5 playoff teams. Easiest just to, at the outset, just rule out the ones that won't be there, at least in my estimation. Buffalo, Ottawa, Montreal, I think they will be a decent ways back of the pack. I think it's going to be tightly contested at the top between Toronto, Florida, and Boston. I'll actually say Toronto on a coin flip. I think that this may be the year that they win the division, but I don't, a little bit of a spoiler.
Is the Max Pacioretty PTO throwing it over the top for you with Toronto?
Well, spoiler alert here, I don't necessarily believe that means Toronto's making it out of the first round. It would just set them up for, set them up for more of a disappointment if it doesn't happen, but I think Florida and Boston will be right on their heels there. A ways back of them, a decent ways back of them, but the two teams that I believe will be the wild cards, I think Detroit and Tampa. I think Detroit, again, it's going to make a big difference. I saw people making jibes in the offseason about, what do the Red Wings think, it's 2015 with getting Tarasenko and Kane, but having those guys on the second line, they're not being counted on to be first line guys like they were in their prime. You could see either one of them there for a little bit. But basically, it's going to come down to Larkin, and I think particularly the continued development of Raymond, which I think is one of the biggest wild cards in the entire league right now, because if Raymond takes the kind of step forward that he's capable of, as well as good old Mo Sider, if he continues to progress, which I expect, I see Detroit in there just narrowly ahead of Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay, after the offseason that they had, which I think was kind of inevitable because they were always going to be hard-pressed to keep Stamkos, and as the ramifications of the cap continue to squeeze that team after the glory years, I see those two as the stragglers making the playoffs here. So how do you see the Atlantic shaking out, Russ?
Okay, I'll first give a mea culpa, because last year I thought the Red Wings would be in last, and they weren't, but they didn't make the playoffs either, which I didn't think they would. So okay. I was partially right on them. Okay. I'm still going to pick the Panthers to win the division.
Okay.
I think they have just enough of everything still left. Yeah, they're not as deep as they were, but they still made some moves, and they got Tobias Bjornflot for nothing on waivers, and he could be a key defenseman for them this year. So little things like that can still keep the Panthers ahead of the pack. I think then you got the Maple Leafs. And then it's between the Bruins and the Lightning. I'd like to pick the Bruins here, but what if Jeremy Swayman misses a month? That could matter as to where they come in, right? So, and I told people he was going to hold out, because there was no way after Allmark was gone already that he wasn't going to get his highest price. Like, they basically handed him the leverage, which normally a young player like this doesn't have the leverage, but he does, because if you look at their goaltending right now, it's awful.
Yeah.
So he's got the leverage to eventually get him signed, but he might miss some games. So I'll go with the Lightning as that third team.
Okay.
And then I think the Bruins will make the playoffs. So what do I have? I got Panthers, Leafs, Lightning, Bruins making it. Sorry, Red Wings.
One more.
Sorry, Red Wings. Not happening, because their goaltending is just not good enough. You're trying to tell me Billy Huso, or do they still have Alex Lyon? Like, that's their goaltending? That's going to make the playoffs? Is that what you're telling me, Rick?
I think there may be a deadline deal or pre-deadline deal in the works.
It's going to have to be. I mean, you know, this is like Manny Legacy territory. Like, that's just not enough.
Well, but here's the thing, though. I believe that they're going to try rolling it out there at the beginning of the season. They're going to see what it gets them. What it got them was, again, if not for the rig job in Game 82 last year, they're in the playoffs. So, I mean, I don't blame Stevie Y for going with more or less the status quo here.
Goaltending. He's going with cheap goaltending. It's like if you buy a cheap car, you get cheap results. Like, basically, for lack of a better term, the goaltending on the Detroit Red Wings is kind of like buying a Ford Escort. Like, you know what you're getting with a Ford Escort. It's not going to last.
Well, again, I think particularly if you see something like that, I do think you will see a trade made potentially in short order. Maybe not even waiting until the deadline if that turns out to be the case. But again,
did you drive a Ford Escort, Rick?
I never had, but I had a K car, so close.
Oh, and those were like better at least than an Escort because there was a cool factor. But yeah, they were decent. K car's better.
Trust me, any cool factor with a K car was like an ironic one at best. So, you know, and mine was like white blue, purchased from an old lady. So, you know, yeah, it was
nice.
It was not the coolest thing on the market back in the day here. But in looking at this, all right, so process of elimination. Who do you have making the playoffs if not Detroit?
It's a good question because do I believe in the Senators? Do I believe in the Sabres? I don't believe in the Canadiens. It's not them.
Okay. Can't be either one of those two. It's not too late to recant.
No, I'm not recanting. No. Don't even try.
Okay.
The Red Wings, I don't know if they're going to be able to make a trade, so I can't say, oh, they'll make a trade and bail the goaltending out. So I can't do it on a Bubba Meister like that. So I'm going to take the Senators because at least they have Linus Allmark and they do have some players, and eventually they're going to gel. I still don't think the Sabres are going to be good enough. I think they'll be better, but their scoring worries me, and they're going to force in some youngsters. Benson's terrific, but Yuri Kulich, if he gets forced in that lineup, he's going to be expected to score like his 27 goals in the AHL, which is only AHL season. Like, you can't; those numbers don't usually translate. I think he needs more time. So I'll say the Senators will be the other team, but I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have to be that way because, look, I mean, the other playoffs, I could have more teams coming out of the Metro, but you know, like I could recant and pick the Islanders over the Senators, but there's always something we don't expect, right? So I'll go with that.
Well, most of the years, to be honest with you, that the Islanders make the playoffs, I never see it coming, just because I just look at that roster, like, where are they going to get enough scoring from?
Right, we always but, say that.
That's yeah, the, but like it's like.
I mean, look, Noah Dobson will be like a Norris candidate, and I loved him in his draft year, and I touted him just ahead of Quinn Hughes, and you know, maybe in the short run that wasn't the case, but in the long run, I think it'll be real close. But yeah, they're still scoring like they just still do.
Well, let me make the cross sport analogy here. On the thing here, to go a little bit of devil's advocate on Ottawa here making the playoffs because of the goaltending, and that being with Allmark, again, leaving Boston, leaving the goaltending cocoon, if you will, there, and again, I get that Boston's goaltending right now behind Swayman is not great, but again, they have the system that protects everybody that they have there to whatever kind of degree. He's outside of that now. What I would liken that to is FDH Lounge dignitary Chris Galloway, when we were doing our NFL preseason picks here, when we were talking about the San Francisco quarterback contract situation, he predicted Purdy would become a free agent and that none other than your New York Jets would pony up for a $400 million contract for Brock Purdy next year outside of the Kyle Shanahan system. So
clearly he was high. So okay.
Well, you telling me that doesn't sound like a Jets type move? Come on.
No, I mean, listen. The Jets' move is watching Sam Darnold develop outside of the Jets organization because I wanted them to get Penei Sewell and I wanted them to let Darryl keep playing and not get Zach Wilson, but they didn't. They had other plans.
They had other plans. $400 million
for Purdy? No, they won't do that.
Well, and that's my comparison to Allmark. It's like, what do you think he's going to look like in Ottawa? You don't think he's going to get? I'm not going to say that he's going to get exposed, because he was one of the very, 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 very best backups in the league last year. But it's not going to be the same as having that blue wall ahead of him in Boston.
Well, I think he could look like Baker Mayfield in Tampa.
We continue with the cross-sport analogies. Very interesting. Okay. Well,
because, look, with Buffalo, it's not like he's been protected his whole career. With Buffalo, he didn't have a lot to protect him, and he had some very good moments there as far as his own production. So I think he could produce. I think if things are right, Ottawa gets a little bit of a gelling here because they actually have a goalie, and it could work out.
Okay. All right. Well, as we move to the...
It worked out better than Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, which I called that from the outset.
Me too.
Day one, yes, you and I both called that for the disaster that it was. Although, again, as somebody who said he was going to go into exile as a Browns fan for the entirety of his stay here, I expected them to make me, at least feel some pangs, because I said it would be the most Browns thing ever to win the Super Bowl at a time when so many of their fans couldn't enjoy it.
Right.
Little did I think I would be vindicated in a football sense. I knew I would be vindicated in a moral sense, but in a football sense on top of it, I would say life is great, except that my 1A team is the Dolphins, and I've just seen the end of Tua's career, so I don't really have much to be positive about.
No, he's going to come back in week 7. He shouldn't, but he will.
Well, I will say this too. I love Mike McDaniels, but like that organization, they've rushed him back out there at every turn, every time
really
he's been
hit in
the head, and they've handled it so irresponsibly. So I hope he's done, and I hope, as a Fish fan, I hope they tank and go like 2-15 and get like a top quarterback next year.
Hey, I hope that too. We're on the same wavelength here.
Well, and that's the thing. I want him to get Quinn Ewers or somebody like that. And
sure, go get 0 wins. Let the Jets win both games against them. That'd be great.
That would serve both of our purposes, because listen, I said before the season the Fish weren't making the playoffs because they had too many holes defensively. Now they don't have a quarterback and they don't have a defense.
Look out below. It's
going to be ugly. Yeah. You know, but in the...
Back to hockey.
Well, yes. In the Western Conference, in the Central Division, boy, is this going to be a fun one at the top of the Central here. Proving, as always, that I am unbiased in making my picks here. I do have my hated Colorado Avs eking out a division title here. I think they will be the one seed coming out of the Central. I have Dallas relatively closely behind them. Nashville, with the moves they made in the offseason to move a little bit more of a win-now posture, I've got them in third and making the playoffs. Winnipeg in fourth place making the playoffs. I have a little bit of a gap between Winnipeg and then St. Louis and Minnesota. I know a lot of people, Utah is like a big hipster pick this year, but I still think there's
interesting.
Yeah, I still think there's room.
And
it
will be the Yeti.
Yeah, exactly.
Next year it'll be the Yeti.
It probably will be, but I think Utah and Chicago are going to be well back of St. Louis and Minnesota, who are going to be decently back of the four playoff teams. That's how I see it. How do you see it, Russ?
I do see the Avs as being the team. People can bitch about Georgiev, and he gets the job done, so it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And Rantanen is also a Hall of Fame player like McKinnon, who doesn't really get the press, but he's got the numbers. Then I kind of look at the Stars as well, and they still have enough, and next year they lose Jamie Benn's contract, so they can give Harley his big contract, so... They're keeping the young guys still in the fold with the bridge deals. They still have some of the pros, like the old pros, even like Sagan, who I still think produces at big times, just not to the degree he used to. So, and I love Jake Ottinger. So I think those two are set. I am not on board with the Predators thing. I like that they got Stamkos. They'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be in the 3 spot. I think the Jets will be in the 3 spot.
Okay.
I just think, Hellebuck most years is a threat to win the Vezina, and they managed to get Cole Perfetti cheap. I think that's going to bode well for them because Cole Perfetti, I think, can break out. I think they still have decent defense, maybe not as good as it could be and you still have Scheifele and those guys on offense. So I think they have just enough to kind of do that. Now, last year I was bullish on the Blues, and I was right to be, because Bennington had a good year. They didn't make it, right? They were close. Mm-hmm. Or did they make it? I forget.
No, they didn't. But they were close. Right,
but they were close. Bennington had a good year, though. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of on and off sometimes, and I think this year will be off because they've just gotten a little older, and they keep trying to squeeze a little more out of the lineup that they have. They have no Torrey Krug this year for the year, so I don't think they're making it. But I'm going to say the Minnesota Wild will. I think people are overlooking them. Kaprizov is, you know, a big star in the league. I think their goaltending's really good, and if they had to, it's Marc-Andre Fleury's last year, but I think they'll get some pretty good juice out of him. They still have Gustafson, right? So that's a pretty good tandem. But if something were to go wrong, you have Jesper Wallstedt, who could be the best goalie not in the NHL yet. So I think goaltending could help carry them through.
Yeah.
I really do. So that's a big deal. And then, you know, look, Blackhawks are going to be maybe a little better than they were last year. Unfortunately, I think that means Utah's in last, but I think they're going to kind of be. I mean, they, you know, they have an okay team, but this is just a very competitive division, and so I think they're somebody has to be last. So I guess it's going to be them.
Well, it's, you know, it's a trend right now. We're hearing in politics, you know, these days we're hearing about, you know, great vibes. I'm a vibes candidate.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of like what Utah is. Utah is the vibes candidate of the Central Division. And I don't think they have the substance to back it up. What I will say to you on Minnesota is, my concern with them is that I look at them as a little bit of kind of a top-heavy team talent-wise. But, on the other hand, as I'm recording with you, I have on the TV right now my Tribe, which is headed for second place in the American League playoffs here coming up.
Amazing year, best bullpen in baseball.
Yes. So it's a thing of, like, I'm watching my hometown baseball team, which is very top-heavy, survive and make it into the playoffs, so anything is possible, Russ.
Yeah, I just think Minnesota, like, Guerin's done a masterful job. Everybody said, oh, they're never going to be good with all that dead cap space from, you know, Suter and Parisi, and they have been. They've been pretty competitive. So I think with some of their young talent and maybe one last run, I mean, would anybody be shocked if Marc-Andre Fleury in his last year had a really good year, still, you know, held on to the number one somehow, even though he's not supposed to be, and make the playoffs? I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, no, I think they could make the playoffs. I don't have them picked to, but I certainly think it's possible. And again, if they made the playoffs and they went on any kind of a run, I mean, that would be one of those kind of things where whoever you're a fan of, you would have to say that would be kind of a neat story because
nobody is against Marc-Andre Fleury. He's the nicest freaking guy in the league. He's always smiling, always positive. Great teammate. Even when he wasn't the starter for the Stanley Cup and Matt Murray won the starting job, he still was a great teammate. And, you know, then he goes to Vegas and he reinvents himself. Like, come on. Yeah, who doesn't root for that
guy? I mean, as a longtime Penguin, I wasn't necessarily referring to him. But, I mean, I would just say, again.
Here's the other thing. How often do they make a giant statue of chocolate of anybody? And they did for him in Vegas.
That's true. But, like, just generally speaking, again, for a hockey-crazed state and one that it really hasn't had a lot to cheer about, one Stanley Cup final appearance, and that was for a previous franchise. So, I mean, Minnesota going on a run would be a neat story if it happened. I cannot
deny that. Yeah, I mean, that area needs it. Like,
yeah.
They just need a little boost. So, we'll see. I mean, again, I think the Preds are playoff-bound, but I don't know how Stamkos is going to fit in there. And I'm not a Houston Soros fan. You're not going to hear me waxing poetic about him because in the playoffs, I don't think he's been at his best. And in the Cup, if you remember, because I believe he came in and relieved Pekka Rinne, he wasn't that good.
That's true, yes.
What was that, against Pittsburgh, right? Because I covered that Cup, yeah.
I believe so, yeah. So, you know, keep an eye on that situation there. And then in the Pacific Division, again, you've got two monsters at the top here. You've got the defending Western Conference champions in Edmonton. You've got the previous year's Stanley Cup champion in Vegas. I have them as the top two teams. Vegas behind Edmonton by just a hair. I have just a little bit behind them Vancouver. I have L.A. making the playoffs more or less by kind of process of elimination because there's too many other teams that I really can't make as much of a case for. And going down the ladder here, I have Calgary and Seattle missing it a little bit more narrowly. San Jose.
Can I just break into the broadcast and say how I'm annoyed I am with the Mets only a game and a half up and the Braves already up 5-0, acting like the aggressor, even when they're down a game and a half and their back's against the wall. It just, God, I hate the Braves.
Acting like, in what way? Let me draw this out. What do you mean acting like the aggressor?
They just, everything, like they're, the way they're taking their at-bats, the way that they're making plays in the field, like they're going for these diving catches, everything. They are not, they don't have a worry in the world. They give no Fs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like the Mets are up a game and a half, and you would think that they were up a game and a half.
Is this shades of when Pete Rose had the 44-game hit streak broken in 1978, when he said that Gene Garber was treating that like it was the seventh game of the World Series? Is that what I'm hearing here, Russ?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Pretty okay. much.
All right, just wanted to
but
check.
But Gene Garber was pretty good.
Just I'll wanted to check.
Shut up.
But that's where, listen, you didn't chime in at a bad spot there, because we can just gloss over the rest of the Pacific, because it's only San Jose and Anaheim. Nothing really to say about them. San Jose
is going
to
be fun, and he'll be one of the Calder finalists.
San Jose's hit rock bottom; they're on the way back up. But me as a North Coaster, I have a hard time rooting for a guy who is so beloved by all the members of the Golden State Warriors. That just sticks in my craw. But,
he's almost a super athlete as a result.
He is.
That's the thing.
I can't deny that. He's going to be a great player if he stays healthy, which most of these guys, when we say that about them, do. But looking at the division here, Edmonton and Vegas at the top, Vancouver and L.A. a little bit back of them. Is that how you see it?
I do see Edmonton taking the division.
Okay.
I don't see a reason why they won't. I think they're on a pretty good trajectory, even though maybe, like, you know, their system, farm system's bereft, but it's not going to hurt them at the NHL level. So they're good there. You know, Vegas is a team now that I'm expecting them to have another bad year. Like, remember that one year that they make the playoffs, they just sort of weren't in it. They're getting close to that point. You've guys like Stone, you never know who's going to miss significant time or give them the LTIR coupon that they need to get somebody else. But I'll still take them in second, like you said. I'm starting to struggle now because I don't love the Pacific anyhow. I guess I'm going to still have to take the Canucks third, but they're going to have a goaltending problem at the beginning of the year because, you know, Demko's not going to start the year. He's got a knee problem that they can't really fix. So he's going to probably try and strengthen it and just miss a certain amount of time so he could finish strong. And then Seelovs has got a knee injury, but it's supposed to either start the season or start shortly after the season. So they're going to have a goaltending deficit to start that could not, you know, maybe it doesn't break their way early. But all that said, fine. I'll still go with them in third. I don't like anybody else. Like, I just don't. I don't think the Kings are great. I don't think the Flames are any good. I don't think the Kraken are good enough. But I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say the Kraken are the next team. Because I think Matty Beniers will have a bounce back year. I think that some of their young talent will start to rise up, and so I'm gonna go with them in that other spot.
Okay, I mean I could see that, and again, they do have one heck of a young nucleus that is coming together here. It's just a matter of what timeline it's going
to
be.
And one thing to mention about San Jose: so you have Celebrini, but it's also going to have Will Smith, and someday down the middle, that team is going to be ridiculous.
Right.
You know, and then they've got other young stars like Eklund, and so they're going to be fun to watch, and they have a goalie now too.
Yeah, so that they're not going to be as bad as they were a year ago. Or
no, Askarov will be good for them. So yeah, I think, you know, I think just like the Blackhawks, I think they'll start to rise the same time the Blackhawks do.
Well, and speaking of the trajectory of teams, there was a criticism that I saw. I think it was on ESPN.com. It was about L.A. and about that they'd made a couple of first-round exits in recent years. And looking at this here, I look at them as a team that, sadly enough, I mean, their glory came after the Red Wings years, and yet thanks to Ken Holland trying to milk the playoff streak as long as they were, L.A. got the jump on rebuilding. So the Red Wings have been just a little bit behind L.A. on that trajectory, but I look at it as a Wings fan. I'm like, how can anybody criticize L.A.? Like, they got eliminated in the first round three straight years. How much better were they supposed to be than that at this stage of their comeback, Russ? That just seems ludicrous to me.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I don't love what Rob Blake's done, especially in trades. Mm-hmm. I think they've traded away too much future talent, but they're trying to stay in it and trying to win it, and mm-hmm. so fine. They got killed on the Dubois thing, and that's another thing that's another reason why I was saying maybe the Capitals can get a boost if Dubois is back to his old self and just needed to get out of there. Not to say that he hasn't tried to get out of every place he's been at, because he has, but you know, at some point, I'm assuming he'll be happy somewhere. Although Bobby Bonds was never happy, right? So
right.
You never know. Guys just sometimes go from team to team to team. So I kind of look at it, you know, in that regard. So I don't love the Kings. I don't. And now Kaliev is out. He's got a broken clavicle. So, like, it's the same old guys almost that you're expecting to carry this team. And you know, maybe they'll be maybe the Brant Clarks of the world will make the team and could give them some offense on the blue line a little bit more.
Right.
So it's not all Drew Doughty. I just think at some point they're going to get tripped up. So why not this year?
Oh, I think that's very possible. But yeah, I mean, and I think you actually said it a little bit better than I did, that maybe it's because of, you know, some of Blake's moves that haven't, you know, panned out as much here. But this notion that, like, oh, well, they should be continuing to advance on the trajectory. Not if the talent on the team doesn't dictate that. You know, like, how many series can you look at the last couple of years and you'd be like, they definitely should have won? Are we here to say they definitely should have ever beaten Edmonton in a playoff series? I mean, that kind of reasoning to me is kind of specious, because you have to look at where a team is on its plane of development, basically. And like LA, they don't strike me in the same way as like you said, Chicago in a couple of years, San Jose in a couple of years. You know, LA is not at that point just because they've been at this a little bit longer. You know, like they got back to respectability relatively quickly, but it's a big difference between respectability and making a nice long run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, going into the playoffs and going around sometimes two still doesn't mean you're on this upward trajectory. The one thing I've learned about this league is the teams that get to the cup and lose and maybe either get back to the cup or go to the conference final the year after sometimes have a chance to rebound. The teams that just could never get to the cup, they never get to the cup, like
that's
Carolina.
Right.
They just can't seem to get over the hump. And so I think that's where it sort of breaks down. And then you have the teams like the Leafs that just can't get past even the second round, right? So
yeah.
It's just, that's what makes the league hard. You know, Florida is the team that keeps going back, right?
Right.
They keep going back, going back, going back. Vegas most of the time, and I think this year could be their downfall a little bit again because just a little age. So, yeah, it's really hard to – it's not like the NFL where you have some teams that just, they get to the championship game every year and, you know, two out of three or four years they're in the Super Bowl. It's harder, I think, in the NHL.
It is. It definitely is. And in terms of some of the teams that you mentioned here, let's start playoff-wise. Let's start with the Atlantic Division. And I've gamed it out round by round. I know that you haven't necessarily done that at this point here, so you just give me sort of your best sense of the favorite for each division. I will say that for the Atlantic, as I teased before, I have Toronto as the top seed, but not necessarily a team to get through the first round. I think it's the upset in the first round. I think it's Detroit over Toronto in seven. I've got Florida over Boston in six. Now, I do think that Detroit is going to get curb stomped in the second round, albeit I think they have a chance to take Florida at a six. But Florida is my team coming out of the Atlantic Division here. So I know that your predictions, shall we say, won't be identical to mine.
No, I mean, you're basically picking like Tugboat to win the Royal Rumble. Like, that's what you're doing.
Well, I think Detroit gets lucky and draws the one matchup that works for them.
Tugboat ever won the Royal Rumble, then so be it, but I don't think he did. So,
no, he didn't. He did not. I'd remember it if he had.
Nor did
he become Sheik Tugboat. As was, that's apparently what was going to happen if they didn't sign Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. Have you heard that rumor? Yeah.
No, I never heard that.
Bruce Pritchard has claimed that on his podcast, so take it with a handful of salt.
But yeah, yes. It's hard to believe brother love and
yes.
Everything, right?
Yeah, Sheik Tugboat. I don't see it.
But don't worry, Vince is already saying, don't believe that you know, Netflix special on me. It's like, listen, Vince. Whatever. I didn't think they were going to go deep enough, but apparently they go deep enough to annoy them. So listen, I could go on. I'm not going to about this.
Well, that might be enough to make me get Netflix once again just to see that. Albeit, I'm certainly not going to miss AEW Grand Slam to watch it, but maybe on a future date.
Yeah. I will say the team coming out of the Atlantic will be the Florida Panthers, yes.
Okay, so we agree on that.
I'm not
going
to pick a cup winner on here. I'm just going to fall short of that. Sorry.
All right, that's fine. Metro Division, I've got it being Rangers over Tampa Bay in 5, Jersey over Carolina in 7, and sorry, Russ, I've got it New Jersey over the Rangers in 7. I think it'll be a
classic.
That's fine.
They beat them a couple of years ago. I was at that last game, too, so it definitely could happen.
Yeah, that's how I see it going, notwithstanding the Rangers winning the division by, I think, a good amount and having home ice in that series. Home ice obviously doesn't mean quite the same thing when every team gets to sleep in their own bed every game of the series.
True. And, you know, the Devils actually, I mean, yes, do the Ranger fans go out in droves in New Jersey and Newark? Yeah, they do, but it still isn't going to be enough, I don't think. I am going to pick the Devils coming out, too.
Really? All right, so we have the same teams.
Yeah, because I think Jack Hughes will be healthy. They have Dougie Hamilton back. They have real goaltending. And, I mean, Markstrom and Allen, that's a good tandem. That may be one of the best.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too, that I don't know that any of us knew that goaltending was going to be such an Achilles heel for them a year ago. So what we were looking at and seeing with New Jersey a year ago is, I think, what a lot of us are looking at and seeing again this year. And I think we're going to be right this time around. In the Central Division, the matchups that I see it going is I see Colorado drawing the LA Kings over from the Pacific, Colorado over the Kings in 6. And every year, based on this thing, and you and I disagree about whether it should still be in a divisional format or 1-8 in a conference, I want them to go back to that because I always think it's unfair that you get one.
When they go to like 36 teams, even though Gary Bettman said right now they're not going to expand. When he retires, they're going to expand.
Okay.
Well, that's definite.
Great. So all it's going to take is the game being watered down substantially to get back to what they already should be doing. Good to know. But one of the things that I really, really hate is that there's a minimum of one. You talked about it with the Devils and the Rangers, and I think you and I had this conversation at the time. I'm like, that is bull crap that that's a first-round matchup. And I'm going to say this about this next one.
I know, but the TV outlets love it.
Nashville and Dallas. There's no way that should be a first-round matchup.
No.
But I'm going to have it being Nashville in a squeeze. I got them coming out in 7. But I don't think they can get past Colorado. I've got Colorado over Nashville in 7. That's how I see the Central.
Yeah, I can't see Nashville beating Dallas. And I love Steve Stamkos as a player, but I don't love UC Saros. So I don't think they're going to do that. But overall, I think Colorado Avalanche are still coming up.
I think they are as well. Okay, so we agree on 3 thus far. We're probably going to disagree on the next one here because the way that I see that one going in the Pacific Division, I've got Edmonton over Winnipeg in 6. I've got Vegas over Vancouver in 7. And I have a different sense from what you said a year ago as far as whether this is a bounce back year for Vegas or not. I think it is. I'm going to say Vegas over Edmonton in 7. That's who I have coming out the Pacific.
Interesting. That's really interesting. In the end, I'm going to say the Winnipeg Jets are going to come out.
Ooh.
I'm going to dig deep on this one because I feel like there's going to be a year when, quote-unquote, Connor Hellebuyck is the unconscious goalie.
Okay.
And if he ever is, at the right time, I think they have just enough to get through.
Well, and again, we've talked about this, that this was however many years ago, if it was 5 or whatever, but like I thought Winnipeg was going to be the team to break Canada's drought on the Stanley Cup. I really thought that previous incarnation, and when Hellebuyck was just a buck, I thought they were going to do it then. So that will be...
I mean, I surprised people when I picked the Canadians to make it to the Cup in the, you know, in the pandemic year, but I did.
Good
I
call.
Picked them the beginning of the year to make it to the Cup, and it happened. And people thought I was nuts.
Well, and the thing of it is, too, and looking at the trajectory since then of the Montreal Canadiens, it is literally impossible to believe that as recently as 2021 they were in the Cup Final.
It's hard to believe.
You can't, because it was like basically 5 minutes after the game was over that the entire franchise fell apart like the house of cards that it was. But
sure.
That will be very, very amusing next year to see Winnipeg raising the Pacific Division Champions banner in their building.
I mean, I just feel like it is going to happen for them. I just feel like they've gone through so much that if they ever put it together for the 1 year, that they're capable. And I just feel like Edmonton is just not great. They're good.
Right.
They've got the super line. You know, the goaltending's okay. It's not great. Skinner's okay. You know, I do feel like if you're a team that could play a great defensive system against them and be physical, that, you know, you could beat them.
I think so as well. I think that would be a tough match. But by the way, again, that's part of the reason that I see Vegas getting past them, is because I think Vegas is a tough matchup for Edmonton as well. So if they play them head to head. So in the conference finals in the East, I see that being New Jersey over Florida in six games. I know you're not really picking beyond the divisions here, but your thoughts on if New Jersey plays Florida?
It would be a great series. I don't see how they get past Florida, only because Florida's got the confidence. Bob is at the height of his game. And if Ekblad's healthy like he was when they won the Cup, it's going to be really hard. Their defense can really be physical, and it also can be really good offensively. And so, yeah, I don't think they can do it. I think Florida's still too good.
One of the things that I'm looking at here on my pick is the hangover of these deep runs. When you've gone all the way to the final the previous year and then winning it in seven games in draining fashion last spring, that's what I would see personally as being possibly the tiebreaker between them. In the Western Conference here, all right, so you've got Colorado and Winnipeg in the Western Conference final. I've got it being Vegas and Colorado. And much like I feel that Vegas is a tough matchup for Edmonton, I would say less so for Colorado, but enough that I would pick them to win Game 7 on the road. I'm going to say Vegas over Colorado in 7. You would see it being Colorado and Winnipeg.
Yeah. And, I think if that matchup happens, it'll be Colorado.
Right.
I don't have a problem saying that. I think it's going to be hard for Colorado not to make the Stanley Cup.
Sure. So you would see that being as I've laughed about this here, that the Stanley Cup Finals in my lifetime, and other matchups in different sports in the finals here. One of the hardest ones for me was New Jersey and Colorado in 2001, as I loathe both teams. So you're looking.
I went to the opening game for that. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Well, you're looking at it being Florida and Colorado, which would be interesting.
But, I think it would be really interesting because you'd have the defending champ going against the team that has won it in the last, 3 years?
Yes.
That's stuff of like the NBA and the NFL with Brady and Mahomes. I think, it would do a lot for the sport, I think. I think then people would shut up about Florida and, no attendance and everything too, because who cares if the team's winning, whatever.
Well, there would be a lot of star power. There would be a lot, much like when Colorado played Tampa Bay, there was a lot of star power, and it would be in a league a year when the league could really use it because, happy to say, again, five-time lounge guest Kenny Albert going to be on the call in the playoffs, but again, on cable. So that is going to make it a little bit tougher to draw a number. If it's Colorado and Florida, then obviously that gives it a better chance. I see it being New Jersey and Vegas. And in a long series here, I'm picking a lot of seven-game series.
I like it from my perspective because then I could just do a home commute to the Stanley Cup for, all the Jersey home games. That would be ideal for me.
Yes.
I've done it before, and I'm fine if I do it again.
I think you're going to get the opportunity. I think you're going to get the opportunity to see a fair number of games there. New Jersey, notwithstanding not having home ice, I see them winning it in seven games in Vegas. I that's how much I believe in this New Jersey team here, notwithstanding my historic dislike for that franchise going back to the days of Claude Lemieux. But, I really, really believe that, they can get it done. And that would be. So that's something that you're not looking to see necessarily because you would probably see Florida coming out over New Jersey in the East.
I think so, but New Jersey's certainly capable. I think if everything broke right, I mean, Luke Hughes, we'll see what kind of step he takes. That could really, you know, be a big difference too for them. But, you know, they have speed with Hughes and Bratt. They have a lot of everything. Mercer's really good for them. Like I said, with Hamilton back, that's a big deal. And with his goaltending, it's a big deal. So I kind of look at it like, you know, there's going to be a year, because like last year, Hughes was unbelievable until he got hurt. If he stays healthy for a year, like that could be their year. Like it could be a lot like Steven Strasburg. You know, they kept waiting for him to be healthy for just 1 year, and he was, and they won it. So I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. It's just not something I would pick.
Yeah.
At least not yet.
Yeah. I could see that being the case.
In a month, I might change my mind, but
well,
I leave it open.
I'm going out on a little bit of a limb here in doing this. I was, interestingly enough, FDH Lounge dignitary, original dignitary Chris Galloway joined me in going out on a limb on our Super Bowl picks before the season, neither of which is looking inspired, as both of us picked Cincinnati to win the Super Bowl this year. So
yeah, Cincinnati's not making it. I feel comfortable in saying that. I know they were 0-3 once, and they did it. But the odds of making it to the Super Bowl when you're 0-3 is almost nil, and they're not doing it twice.
No, they're not doing it. They could still make the playoffs in what looks like a crappy AFC, an AFC which is down across the board. But
except for the Jets, they'll win 10.
They might, and you know, we'll see. You know, certainly, you know, hey, if RFK decides to become a write-in after all, and he needs a vice presidential candidate, you know. That could always still materialize. I don't think Nicole Shanahan is signing up for twice.
Please don't.
Yeah.
RFK is not going to be. Nobody's writing in for him. He might get like 100. He might get 1,000 votes. I'll give him that. That's what he's going to get.
But by the way, I just say with RFK Jr. and everything over the course of the last week, how many guys my age up to your age are now shooting their shot at Olivia Nuzzi?
Oh, come on. I just can't take the guy. I'm sorry. It's hard to take him seriously. His family doesn't even take him seriously, so whatever.
Well, I mean, anybody that admits to a brain worm, you know, there are politicians we know that have brain worms, but they're smart enough not to cop to it, so.
And the Bears story is bizarre. Like, I'm sorry. Why was the thing in his car? Why in the world at the last minute would you try and dispose of it in Central Park? Why? I mean, none of it makes sense.
Well, I mean, you being an East Coast guy, do you have any memory of when that thing hit the news? Do you remember?
No.
That? Okay.
No, I don't remember. Okay. To be fair.
Like, that's a thing where, like, imagine, like, remembering it at the time and not having any sense that it was somebody from one of America's 5 to 10 most famous families that was responsible for it.
Right. Hey, the Mets got on the scoreboard. What do you know?
Did they? All right. Well, yeah.
Vientos, there you go.
Vientos, great. That's great for my fantasy keeper team, if it were still playing in the playoffs, which it's not. But and a win for the Tribe as we're recording this in real time here. So, but Russ, it is going to be a heck of an NHL season looking ahead here. It will be fun. It's always great breaking it down with you, my man. I look forward to reconvening with you once you're ready to start plugging the book.
Absolutely. I'll be on again. Thanks a lot.
No problem. One more time. What's the name of the book? What's it about?
Oh, it's going to be Game Winners, the 50 greatest goals in NHL history, including the playoffs. So we will rank them 1 through 50, and then there'll be some honorable mentions. So, you know, there's some Red Wings stuff in there. Don't worry.
I can't wait to see the one on Stevie Y, Game 7 against St. Louis, 1996. That's going to be awesome. I look forward to reading that one in particular. So,
yeah. Okay.
I think that's the number one goal in NHL history, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But,
all right.
We'll look forward to all that.
Maybe it's 52. Maybe, you know, you're not going to be happy.
Look forward to all of this. Thank you, Russ, and thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge, mini episode 1765.